Praise God. Well, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you. We love you. We adore you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this message, this lesson on prayer and fasting, because this is a divine process that you've given us in order to draw near to you. And Father, may we use it as led by the Spirit to do so. May we deny the flesh and feed the Spirit. May we hunger for more of you in our life. And that's what fasting demonstrates, a hunger for your righteousness and a thirst for more of you in our life. So, Father, we lift this up to you. And may your will be done in our lives, Father, as we just bow to you in submission. And, Father, may your message be delivered in the power of the Spirit. And may our hearts be prepared to hear and see all that you have for us. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. You know, and Pete reminded me that it is Veterans Day, and we think about the veterans that go out and fight every day, that are fighting in Iraq and have fought in Iran and World War II. But you know what? We're all Christian soldiers. We all are in the fight every day. And we all have to have that full armor of God. But you know, sometimes we just need, in that full armor of God, to sit down, separate ourselves from the world, including our own physical needs. And to deny ourselves the flesh, to deny ourselves food, and just feed on the Word. Feed on what the Spirit would have for us. This is true soul food, and this is what we're going to look at today. How fasting really helps us in this battle, in this spiritual warfare that we're in. As we go and we get wounded and we get afflicted by the world and we end up in compromise and ambushed, there's this process He gives us where we can come and just deny the physical things and focus on the spiritual things and be fed by Him. Practice His righteousness for God's glory. Fasting is denying the flesh to feed the Spirit. And you know what? Jesus said, we will have the heart of worship, and in this we'll be led to fast. And we're going to find out what that means to us today. As spiritual beings, those new creations, not fleshly creatures anymore, but new creations. So, let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. I'll go ahead and give a little review. Last week, we had Jesus instruct us on how we're not to pray like the hypocrites and draw attention to ourselves as we looked at Matthew 6, 5 through 15. But instead, when we pray, we're to do it secretly and to pray to our Father in the secret place. And you know where that secret place is? The heart of worship. That secret place where God always meets us is the heart of worship. And we have to sometimes remove those outward stimuli. That's why He says go into the prayer closet. Don't be in front of people all the time when you're praying. If you don't have a private prayer life, you can't have a public prayer life, because it starts with the heart of worship, and it's a relationship that you have with God in submission to Him, in worship to Him through prayer. So we go into our prayer closet and we shut out the outside stimuli. Well, you know what? When we pray and fast, we're doing the same thing. We shut out the stimuli as far as the outward world's interference, and we also start mortifying our own flesh by physically denying it. So continuing on, He says He gave us the model prayer. And that model prayer was to lead us into how to delight ourselves in the Lord and to do the Father's will. And we saw how the model prayer, the disciples' prayer, we called it, was divided in three parts. First, we realize who we're praying to, and we address God in reverence and in His will, not ours. And we start by worshiping God for who He is, our Father in heaven, hallowed or revered is His name. As we bow to Him and submit ourselves to Him in prayer, seeking His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the start of the model prayer. And you know, it also is telling us to intercede on behalf of others. So not only as we pray for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, does it mean for His will to be done in our own lives, but it is also leading us to intercede on behalf of other people's lives, for His will to be done in other people's lives, other people's lives who are already saved but need spiritual intervention because of their wayward ways, or need encouragement, or need to have a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, or need to have their houses rent or their houses bought or whatever it may be. So It's not only praying for ourselves. So that's something I wanted to add from last week's message. This is also interceding on behalf of others. Not only just for His will to be done in our own lives, but to intercede on behalf of others. Secondly, we ask the Lord for our daily needs to be met. Those daily needs include provisions, which is for today. Forgiveness for things that we did yesterday. So the past. And then for guidance and protection for the future. So we see that prayer is for the past, present, and future. For all of the provisions that we need. Physical as well as spiritual. And then we end praising God that we live eternally for God's kingdom. For His power or in His power and for His glory. And this is all done in Christ. So that's the model prayer. And that all leads us into part of fasting as well. Because we will take those three principles and integrate those in with us denying our flesh. Jesus then goes on to emphasize last week the importance of forgiveness. Being merciful to those who don't deserve it. And always remembering that mercy is the flip side of the coin of grace. So as we have received grace, we will also be merciful. And when you find it troubling to forgive someone, you will find that the divine process of fasting will help you in that. Because as you deny yourself and you draw near to God through this process, He will give you the ability to forgive others. So when you're having problems with anything spiritual, where you just can't overcome that flesh, fasting helps us to deny that flesh and to get into that spiritual mode of operation in which God's will can be done in our lives as He overcomes our flesh, as we allow Him to. Because He's not going to do anything we're not going to allow Him to do. Amen? So, I say all that to say this. Today, we're going to read Matthew 6, 16 through 18. And He says, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. Moreover, Jesus said, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to be men to be fasting. Assuredly or verily, is what it says in King James, verily I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to be men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So Jesus said, when you fast. Therefore, He gives us warning and guidance regarding this and tells us not to be like the hypocrites that bring attention to themselves when they're fasting. Because verily, He says, they have their reward, their only reward. But instead, deny the flesh in order to feed the spirit with true soul food. The soul food that our spirit needs is a humbled and contrite heart brought by praying and reading or meditating on the Word and not merely an outward display. We don't merely take away food and then not do anything that's spiritual. That would be a waste of our time. That'd be a waste of our effort. That's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. They did, we assume, deny themselves food, but that was all a physical outward thing. It had nothing to do with the Spirit. So whenever we're fasting, it's a process for us to be in the Spirit and therefore to be in prayer, to be in the Word, and to pray through the Word and look up to Him what He has for us. And He will give us that broken and contrite heart. He will open up His Word to us. And He will break our hearts. He will humble us. And He will instruct us and guide us and encourage us through that whole process. How do I know that? Isaiah 58:5 says, is such a fast as yours what I have chosen? A day for a man to humble himself with sorrow in his soul. What's the purpose of fasting? A day for a man to humble himself with sorrow in his soul. To do soul searching. We talk about doing soul searching. Well, that's what fasting helps us do. And it goes on to say, is true fasting, this is out of the Amplified Bible, by the way, is true fasting merely mechanical? Is it only to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him to indicate a condition of the heart that he does not have? Will you call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? So if you're doing it only mechanically, if you're only doing it to deny your flesh and to, you know, show how godly you are, it's a waste of time because what his fast is to lead to is that broken and contrite heart that allows His Spirit to commune with our spirit, and to build us up in Him. Amen? So that's the soul food that we need. So what is Jesus doing in all this? What's He doing by instructing us? In fasting. Jesus is bringing His disciples back to the heart of worship. And our Father meets us there, in this secret place of our soul. And He nourishes us, producing fruit that glorifies Him. The heart of worship is that secret place that He meets us. And we fast out of that desire that comes from that secret place, our heart of worship. And Jesus again refers to merit under grace, receiving a reward for doing God's will. Our immediate reward when we fast is we draw nearer to Him, and then we're also empowered for specific situations, or we're given special wisdom or special knowledge to do His will. We're also going to look at Isaiah chapter 58 in the New Living Translation and explore further the type of fast that God honors. Not only is a fast meant to honor God, but He also honors that fast because we're doing it for His purposes. As this becomes an integral part of delighting ourselves in Him. And this is the sacrifice that He desires. And you know, our spirit communing with the Holy Spirit is hindered by an unrepentant soul, one that seeks to do our will and not His. So again, this divine process of fasting will allow us to remove any hindrances that has been put in our way or separates us from God and brings us to repentance and brings us to that heart of worship where we can receive all that God has for us. And it may not be the breaking of your heart. You may already have that broken and contrite heart, but it is preparing the path for you to receive that encouragement, to receive that instruction, receive that guidance that now you're open to that you weren't before because you're focusing on physical things more than the spiritual. So God is bringing His disciples back to the heart of worship, and that would be us. So let's look at verse 16. Jesus says, "Moreover, when you fast," does Jesus expect us to fast? Absolutely. He says, when you fast, just as I talked about on Wednesday night, it's an instruction. It's a prescription for us to do. Just as He expects them and us to do good deeds, just as He expected them and us to pray, He expects us to fast because all of these are righteous practices that work hand in hand. When we're in prayer, we're going to be led to give alms. We're going to be led to do good deeds. When we're in prayer, we're going to be led to fast to give special guidance or that special wisdom or that special empowerment to accomplish those things. So they all work hand in hand with prayer being the anchor, if you will, for giving alms, charitable deeds, and for fasting. It's always led in prayer because everything we do is led by the Spirit and done in the Spirit, or like the Pharisees, it's just hypocritical and a waste of time. It's done in the flesh. So in this, He is instructing them to practice His righteousness. When all these are done the right way for the right reason, it'll be done as Jesus taught and demonstrated. And in this, He was bringing them back to the heart of worship, to God, to Himself. So whenever we talk about God, we're talking about being brought to Jesus through the Holy Spirit and into the throne room of God the Father. And He was leading them out of their self-righteousness, as it had been ingrained by the perverse religion. Well, you know what? We have to be led out of self-righteousness too sometimes. We get so holier than thou sometimes just because of how puffed up we can get because we look at ourselves and we compare ourselves to the world. Well, oh, look how good we are. Look what we're doing for the Lord. Look how holy I am. And then you go and fast and the Lord breaks your heart. You want to see holy? Look at my face, Jesus said. Don't look at your own. Look at my heart. Don't look at the heart that would be puffed up because you've done something. But to give sacrificially, to pick up your cross, deny yourself, and walk with Him. Forsake everything, including glorifying yourself privately. You know, we can glorify ourselves privately as well. Oh, aren't I doing good? You guys probably never felt that way, but I have to fight that. Oh, aren't I doing good? Oh, look, that's why fasting is important. It gives us that mechanism to break that self-righteous cycle that has been ingrained in us because we are human. No matter how godly we strive to be, we wrestle with that flesh. We're just so human. So to deny the flesh, we use this mechanism and it helps us. So for us, Fasting is an exercise of faith as we practice Christ's righteousness as led, enabled, and empowered by Christ's Holy Spirit. And this helps conform us into His image. You know, and just as we studied in Mark chapter 2 on Wednesday night, when asked why His disciples didn't fast, Jesus stated that His disciples didn't fast while the bridegroom was with them. But when He left, they would fast. In fact, Mark 2:19-20 says, "And Jesus said to them, 'Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast.'" As they're celebrating, they're rejoicing that the Lord is there. They were overjoyed being in the presence of God physically, being in the presence of their Savior and Messiah physically. And He goes on to say, "But the day will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days." Let me be clear. They are us. And those days are our life in Christ. And so fasting is prescribed for His disciples today. The days of our lives. There used to be a soap opera like that. Well, this ain't no soap opera. The days of our lives are in Christ. And therefore we should be open to the leading of His Spirit in this area as He has prescribed it for us. And it is a joy. It is something we should look forward to and rejoice in. Not be all scornful, "Look, I'm going to do this." Yeah, it should be like giving. We give hilariously. When we fast, it should be done in joy, anxiously looking for what God has for us, even if it is a broken heart, because we rejoice as we are humbled, because God loves a humbled heart. That's what His eyes are searching for to and fro, is that humbled heart that'll be molded and shaped and conformed into the image of His Son. That should bring us joy and hope. We do it in faith, one side of the coin, because we have our hope in Jesus and we know that He will not disappoint us and we will be conformed by the promises of God. And one of those promises is that fasting, we can draw near to Him and we will be changed in this process if done for the right way, for the right reason. The law commanded fasting only on the Day of Atonement in Leviticus 16:29, also in Numbers 29:7. But as the Holy Spirit led the prophet Zechariah, He expanded fasting to be done on the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th months of each year for one day each month. So they were doing that as in captivity. This would remind them of why they were there, but yet God was going to get them out of that captivity. So they would do it for those four additional months. One day for those four additional months. So they do it on the Day of Atonement. So total of five. Isn't it interesting that five is the number of what? Grace. So fasting is literally a picture of grace. God gives us grace, and under grace we can do these things. And we're rewarded. Rewarded for just doing His will. Just surrendering to Him in this. And then He builds us up spiritually. And you know, in Jesus' time, the Pharisees boasted about fasting twice a week. And it wasn't a sin for them to fast twice a week. It was the sin of boasting about it. That was what the problem was. It wasn't because they had beat their body into submission and therefore led by the Lord, they were going to fast twice a week. No, they had turned it into something totally legalistic. Doing it as an outward appearance twice a week so they could be seen by the crowds to gain their own glory. And not to draw near to God or not to give God glory in that process of denying themselves. So, Jesus says, not to be like them. Not to be hypocritical. And for it to become another act. Because they looked mournful. They looked repentant. As I said in verse 16 there, they looked repentant. They would disfigure their faces to amplify this. Because it says it's going to break your heart. You know, when you fast, your heart's going to be broken. You're going to be repentant. You're going to have that afflicted soul, because God is going to be speaking to you. Oh, they go around, they'd have ashes on their head and towel over their heads, and they'd look all mournful, and everybody know. Oh, look at that spiritual man. Look how he's fasting. And of course, they'd be praying, right, while they're fasting. Well, we already know they're praying like hypocrites to be seen. Now they're fasting also to be seen, disfiguring themselves, looking so repentant, looking so sorrowful. They were sorrowful in their appearance and a sorrowful state that they were in. Jesus says, verily, they have their rewards. as God the Father does not honor those types of acts. Those are all fleshly acts and have no value to Him. Just another act. So this is what Jesus is warning us about. Don't be like them. Merely appear to fast because it must be done for one reason. It must be done to draw near to God and seek more of Him. So when you're fasting, don't look mournful and sorry. You know, when you're in the secret place, you'll have that. But when you're out in the world, appear as you always do. It says, we do it for one reason. We do it to draw near to Him and to seek more of God in our lives. And yes, we will seek more of His spiritual fruits, to be enabled through the fruits of the Spirit. And pray for those fruits of the Spirit. Pray for more of them in your life. Love, joy, peace, self-control, brotherly kindness, certainly love, because it all comes from love. Pray for those things. Also, we draw near to God and ask for spiritual gifts. Father, You've given me this job or task to do, or we're getting ready to lay hands on somebody. Give me Your wisdom. Give me Your knowledge. Give me Your instruction on who we should raise up. Make it evident. So you pray for that spiritual gift you desire God to give you. That's drawing near to God. We also pray, certainly, for godly wisdom in any decision that we make. And there's special decisions, special times when we need a special type of wisdom. Should I go or stay, Father? You know, I've waited on You. It appears that the doors are opening. Should I go now? So we use fasting to lead us and guide us at those times. Because that's drawing near to God, and He is faithful to draw near to us, which we'll look at in a few minutes. But it's always, always, always done for His will to be done in our lives and not our own. And that's the process of denying the flesh. Because as we hunger in the flesh, it makes us remember why we are fasting to begin with. To deny that flesh. To be open to the Spirit's leading. And what it always reminds me of is how much pain Christ went through. How much suffering He went through for me. And that just brings my heart to being open to what the Lord has. And you know, if I don't eat during the day, I get sick to my stomach. But it's always amazing that when I lift up a fast to the Lord, that I don't get sick. I get hungry, but God curbs that appetite. God curbs those hunger pains. And like I said, as I am reminded how hungry I am, it makes me think of what Christ did for me and the pain that He went through, and how I need to hunger more for Christ, hunger more for His Word, for His will to be done in my life. And that brings me to humbleness, brings me to a place where I can then read the Word and be open to what He says. Humility. Humility. How does humility usually happen? It's usually somebody is in your face or something has happened to you physically, right? You become embarrassed. Well, in fasting, we've literally denied ourselves, and what's in our face then is how much our flesh is wanting to lead us and guide us, and it's in our face about how we let it control us. That basically is humiliating when we realize how much we let our flesh control us instead of the God who we proclaim to love to lead us. Amen? That's embarrassing. Should be embarrassing. More than embarrassing. It's sorrowful. And it brings us to repentance. Brings us to our knees. And open in the mind of Christ to hear what He has for us. So, for us, when we fast, we do it by worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Verses 17 and 18, basically, that's what it's saying. We're doing it for His glory. And not for our own glory. Not to be seen by men. Instead, we freshen ourselves. And in all ways, we appear normal, as I was getting to earlier. They anointed themselves with perfume and oil so they would smell normal. We do the same thing. We don't go around unclean, fasting for 2 or 3 days or 1 day or whatever, and you just, people can smell you coming. No, you wear all your normal stuff. You look normal. In the flesh, on your outside appearance, you look normal. Inside, your heart is being changed. Just the opposite of what the Pharisees were doing. On the outside, they looked holy. On the inside, they were empty vessels. Sepulchers, whitewashed tombstones, is what Jesus called them. So, we appear normal. And our Father, who is in the secret place, our heart of worship, sees what we're doing to draw near to Him, and He rewards us openly. You know, and our reward, our immediate reward, is being refreshed and renewed spiritually, which increases our faith in Jesus. And Jesus did say there's special situations that require prayer and fasting to build us up in faith to meet that situation. Matthew 17:19-21. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast him out?" Now what had happened is there was a child that had been possessed by a demon, and this man had called him over to exorcise the demon, and they couldn't do it. So the man approached Jesus and said, "Hey, can you cast out this demon? I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't do it. Will you do it?" And so then Jesus cast out the demon. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast him out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." What Jesus is basically saying there is, you must pray and fast to be built up in the faith, so that as you approach these things, when you see Satan face to face, or the demonic things face to face, your faith won't be shaken. You will be prepared to stand firm in the full armor of God and for His will to be done. I can only imagine how shaken they were as they saw that demon and the things that that demon did to that child. Threw him in the fire, did all these different things to him. How their faith must have been shaken. Jesus says, fast and pray. That'll build you up in faith to meet those kinds of situations. If you're afraid, fast and pray. If you're uncertain, fast and pray. If you feel you're getting double-minded, fast and pray. All these things, because it will build us up in faith. So, we exercise our faith in and reliance on God through prayer and fasting. Because this is a demonstrated dependence on Jesus. Because whose name are we praying in to begin with? Who is leading us to do it to begin with? Whose instruction are we following when we do it? Jesus. So it demonstrates a dependence on Jesus. And fervent prayer and fasting also displays an earnestness before God. And that earnestness before God brings answers to prayer. The Word promises this. It says, the fervent prayers of a righteous man avail much. The fervent prayers, laboring. We can take that to mean fasting. Laboring in prayer avails much. Because we are righteous, Christ's righteousness. We're doing it as He has led us. And we're doing the right thing, the right way, for the right reason. So He will answer those prayers that are done earnestly. Our problem is we often pray dispassionately, almost asking God to care about things we care little or nothing about. Oh God, save all the missionaries, protect them. Save all the children in the world. How passionate are you? Can't think of one thing to say for the missionary? Can't name the missionary you're praying for? But when we pray and fast, it helps us to focus spiritually, and He'll bring it to mind who and what to pray for. And we do it in intercession. Just like in Colossians chapter 1, 9 through about verses 12, it instructs us on how to do intercessory prayer. How we're to pray for them, that all their works will be done in the power of the Lord, and for it to produce good fruits, and for them to be strengthened in the Lord, for them to have the knowledge of the Lord, and for them to proceed in the Lord's strength. So, fasting helps us focus spiritually on the things that God has put into our hearts, and to earnestly pray for those things. You know, the early church prayed and fasted. Especially, as I said before, the laying on of hands, ordaining, if you will, someone to be sent out as a missionary. What's a missionary but literally an evangelist or a pastor going out to form a new church, plant a church? Before they did that, though, they would seek the will of God and His wisdom through fasting and prayer. It's all throughout Acts that shows this. So in these very important decisions, they would use this prescribed divine process. I believe this is an example for us to follow in our personal lives as well. Whenever we have a particularly important decision to make, I believe we should fast and pray. Seek God's special will and guidance in this, because you know what? We can get confused. There's a lot of clutter going on. And we don't even know that our will is being done instead of God's will sometime. So we need to clear that clutter. Let God break our hearts and lead us as He would, giving us that wisdom and knowledge. Because that's what we're seeking, for His will to be done and not our own. Amen? Pressing on, the heart of worship denies the flesh and feeds the Spirit. Prayer and the Word feed the Spirit, just as food feeds the body. And we're extremely faithful in feeding the body. We see that we eat at least 3 meals a day. Some of us more. Some of us get extra treats and snacks. But so often we're careless about feeding the Spirit. Now the flesh is warring against the Spirit. We got to realize this. It's spiritual warfare going on right in our own body, right in the temple of God, our own vessels. There's a spiritual warfare going on. Our flesh is warring against the Spirit. Our will is warring against God's will. Even though we're new creations and we're in the mind of Christ and we have the Spirit communing with God's Spirit, when we let the flesh overcome our spirit, it hinders us in being those new creations. It hinders our productivity in being conformed to Christ. Doesn't mean we're not saved. It just means it's hindering us. We need to clear that away so our relationship can grow stronger. You know, there's an old story about the flesh and the spirit's like two dogs. Which one's the strongest? Whichever one you feed the most. Well, if we're always diligent to feed the flesh 3 times a day and feed it with the things and the passions of this world, then what's going to be stronger? The flesh. But if we fast, deny that flesh, that weakens it. And at the same time, our spirit is fed that soul food where our hindrances are taken out of the way and the Word nourishes us and builds us up and the living water flows and fills us to overflowing in our lives and empowers us to do what God desired us to do. So what fasting does is literally puts a reversal to the norm. It helps facilitate changing my life's priorities. You know, our priorities as new creations should always be spirit, soul, and body. What does flesh do, though? It tries to take over and put that body first. Well, fasting is literally an outward demonstration of putting the spirit first, our soul second, and putting that flesh where it deserves. As Paul says, beating it into submission, if you will. He doesn't run aimlessly, but he beats his body into submission so that he can do the will of God, so he himself won't be disqualified. Well, that's what fasting is, a demonstration of that. A spiritual exercise, a physical exercise, yet a spiritual exercise of faith so that we can overcome the flesh. Oh, you know, I prayed about this and I just keep doing the things I don't want to do. Then fast and pray and ask for that special empowerment, that special fruit of self-control to overcome those things. It's like fighting in spiritual warfare. If we're not fasting, it's like being in spiritual warfare with both arms tied behind our back and all we can do is spit and kick. You know, we can do certain things. But man, if we had our arms untied and we use that sword, the Word, and the power of the Spirit, because we have now removed those hindrances, that bondage that we had our arms tied behind our back, how much more effective we can be. How much more powerful God will be in our lives. How much more will we have surrendered. That's what fasting is about. So, I fast to receive that soul food, which is prayer and reading the Word. And as a result, my spirit begins to grow stronger. And I overcome my flesh. And His gratis might then helps me to do His will instead of my own. And what does this lead to? Becoming victorious in Christ. Experiencing Christ's victory in our lives. It's one thing to know you have the victory. It's another thing to experience it. And what triggers that? Faith triggers that victory. Faith in fasting brings victory in Christ. In that small battle, that daily battle against the flesh, denying it once a week, denying it once a month, denying it whatever the Lord tells you to, is a victory in spiritual warfare in and of itself. But then there's untold victories that come out of it as we allow God to instruct us and lead us in His power then through that drawing near to Him. So prayer and fasting is drawing near to Him. we draw near to Him and He will draw near to us. James 4, 7 through 10 says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. So that humbling, that mournful, all that is in that secret place, in your prayer closet. And then you walk out of there refreshed and renewed, still fasting, but refreshed, renewed, and with a new anointing, if you will, a new empowerment from that immediate victory you have in Christ as you become more victorious in Christ through the very act itself, as we will experience repentance. And then we're able to forgive others. As we experience forgiveness, isn't that what repentance is experiencing His forgiveness? We're so enabled then to forgive others. You can't forgive someone? Lift that up specifically and see what God will do. He doesn't disappoint. The hypocrites, though, they mock fast, if you will. They do it only for show as they appear more mournful when they're not. It wasn't done out of contrition. They just denied themselves for the sake of doing it as an act to show how holy they were. Not for seeking God's will in their lives. They did it to gain the applause of men and for their own willful purpose, their own glory. But God knows our hearts. Therefore, we do in secret for Him this submission, this act of surrender, this act of mortifying our flesh because we love Him, because we want more of Him in our life, because we desire to draw near. We desire His will to be done. We want clarity in our lives so we're not doing our will instead of His. Why? Because we delight ourselves in Him. And then He gives us the desires of our heart, which are the desires He gives to His children. His will is His desire, given to His children. And it's given through the prayer cycle. And it's done in submission to Him, and fasting facilitates that. So, let's look at Isaiah 58 in the New Living Translation, because we're going to see the fast that God replies to or honors is the fast that results in His will being done. Or if you will, it's when His desires become ours. So as we look at Isaiah 58, it explains that God desires fasting. He desires His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it starts with us humbling ourselves and seeking Him in this manner. And God will quickly reply to us drawing near to Him. But He rebukes the hypocrite. So let's go ahead and read. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 first. Shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud. Don't be timid. Tell my people Israel of their sins. So he's talking to Isaiah and he's telling him, shout to these people their sin. Yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near to me. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed, God? We have been very hard on ourselves. You don't even take notice of it. I will tell you why, I respond. It's because you are fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. Why isn't God responding to their fast? Because they're doing it for their own willful purposes. And what's proof of that? As they're fasting, they're still beating their workers. They're still oppressing the people that serve them, both in the temple and outside. When you have the heart of worship, you're not going to oppress those people. You're not going to impress them or oppress them. Verses 4 through 5. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fast will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance or repentance or mortifying yourself, acting like you're repentant, looking to draw near. Bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourself with ashes. That's the signs of mourning from the Old Testament. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? Do you really think this type of show will please the Lord? Really? That's what he's basically saying here. You're saying one thing and doing something else. Verses 6 through 7. No. This is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. What's the type of fast God wants? The type of fast that will lead you to the surrender that will do His will. What is His will? To let the oppressed go free, to remove the chains that bind the people, to share your food and shelter and your clothes with those who need it, says even your relative. That's the will. That's what fasting is about. Getting to know the will of God and employing that will in our lives. 8-9, the first half of 9. Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer, "Yes, I am here." He will quickly reply. God will quickly reply to our prayers that are done in a holy fast, a fast that honors Him. And He will protect us in the front and in the rear, all the way around us. His glory will protect us. And our salvation is confirmed as we are resting in Christ and depending on Him. So much so that we have humbled ourselves in prayer, showing that dependence. Showing that we are totally relying on God. Then He will answer. It'll be as a new day is dawning, as that new creation. As in that heart of worship, we will be then those men and women showing their good works among men. Let our light shine among men. Like the new day that's dawning, our light will shine among men so they can see our good works and our Father in heaven will be glorified. So then, the rest of 9-10. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry. Help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. There we go. So not only was there a new day dawning in us, then our light shines, and everyone will see it. Verses 11-12. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the desert ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. The Lord will guide you continually, and He will give you living water. And you will be strengthened. You will grow fruit as in a garden. And you will be like a spring that never goes dry, like that pipeline of living water. And that water will be shared with others to nourish others. You will literally restore homes, households, if you will, and rebuild people in all of this. And it says 13, keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interest on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath and everything you do on that day. And don't follow your own desires or talk idly. Our Sabbath is every day. Because we rest in the Lord of the Sabbath. But we do set aside Sunday as our day of fellowship, a special day of fellowship to get together and to encourage and love on one another. Let the Lord lead you in that. Let the Lord lead you in all things, but let the Lord lead you in that as well. Verses 14. And finally, then the Lord will be your delight. See, he talks about we delight ourselves in the Lord and he gives us the desires of our heart. If we do these things as we have fasted, that's truly showing that we delight ourselves in the Lord because He has given us the desires of our heart because our desires are His desires. And it's proven by what we do. And it says, and I will give you great honor and satisfy you with an inheritance I promised to your ancestor Jacob. I, the Lord, have spoken. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, including through fasting and doing His will in our lives, He will reward us. He will reward us with the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. That same inheritance that was promised to our spiritual ancestors. Are we to ever doubt this? No. God, our God, the Father, says, I have spoken. Amen? That's what fasting and prayer is all about. The Lord is truly our delight when we surrender totally to Him. And fasting and prayer assist us in doing so, to surrendering. Therefore, as led by the Lord, may we use this divine process to draw near to Him. And He'll draw near to us as we deny the flesh and hunger for more of Him in our lives. And He feeds our spirit, the soul food, the flourishing Christ. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise You. We love You. We adore You. Thank You for Your guidance and leading on fasting. May it not be something mechanical, but something that is truly divinely inspired, divinely accomplished, and divinely glorifies You. That's what we lift up to You, Father. We desire to humble ourselves before You in this manner, to seek Your face so that Your will is done in our lives and that we can overcome that flesh that we wrestle against every day, every moment of our lives. Oh, You ask so little. In fact, Jesus says, because we've been faithful in a few things, He will make us responsible for many things. What a reward we can look forward to as we are faithful in these few things that You give us to do. To do charitable deeds for Your good pleasure. To give alms. To pray. To fast. But it all means to surrender. May we just surrender to You and look forward to the day that we stand face to face with our Lord and Savior Jesus and hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've heard it said that our life in Christ is, once we become a new creation, like being on autopilot. Well, and a lot of it can be because we get into that Christian life, that Christian routine, and it can become like an autopilot. But you know what fasting does is allows us to click off that autopilot and make sure that God is still in control. Hallelujah.